This is Mobile Suit Patron Down, and these are the extended outtakes for episode 1.20.
Adeladdle. Now I know what an adeladdle is. Thank you, Jeopardy, and also our friend Sean.
I was killing it the other day.
You were really good, yeah.
Except for geography. Now I
thought, what are we doing to White Base? No. Are we jumping onto White Base?
No, I'm self-conscious.
No, you're not. The recording's off. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not. I know you turned it on. I saw you.
Okay, I'm lying. All right, now I'm turning it off. No. Click. It's off.
Can I do it?
We're jumping on the White Base.
Oh, I'm dizzy from laughing too hard.
That's definitely going into the outtakes, or at least the extended outtakes for special patrons.
Just the endless laughter.
Yep.
Yeah. It was genuine.
It sounded good because of its genuinity.
Didn't even fake it. That's right. I do not pretend to laugh for you people.
You pretend to laugh for me.
Well, right.
My benefit.
I mean, if I didn't, you wouldn't be funny.
Right.
Somebody has to tell them you're funny.
Yeah. It's like the laugh track in the sitcom.
Exactly.
You can go whenever.
Okay. I keep forgetting that it's on.
Well, I did turn it off that one time.
Right, and then you didn't turn. So which is it, Tom? Is it on or is it off?
Click. Okay, it's on now.
Tom is a liar. He is full of lies.
I sit on a throne of lies. It's a nice harmony there.
Yep. For once.
You're the only person I can harmonize with. I don't know if you know that.
I did not know that.
I've never been able to do it with anyone else.
We don't do it successfully very often.
It's a much higher success rate than zero.
Idea for a fan benefit at some point, karaoke with us.
Is that a benefit or a punishment?
Both. It's a benefit for masochists. You know how much I like to tell you why you're wrong. Resolution.
Yay!
The whole bit with are there any British here feels like a Monty Python sketch to me. Are there any British here? Yes, we're all British.
Well, except Diego and Hans. And, well, no, I suppose there are no British here at all. No British at all. There.
Oh, just like, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of, it's a word you would expect to find in a like Victorian Regency era novel. Mm-mm. It's like when you take delight in causing other people trouble.
Well, I mean, he's vexing, but yeah, there's a
particular word.
It'll come to us.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
There are also 7 bodhisattvas and 1 wisdom king. Sorry. Could you pass the water down here?
So carefully.
Let's not spill it on everything.
No.
Mirage. did you want to say anything about the like 7-day and 49-day?
I'm not certain how it fits
okay.
with what we've talked about. It might be worth talking about in the next couple of episodes because he keeps coming up, right?
Yeah, like, and like a spirit lingering.
Like he's still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I think that might be better.
We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Try to keep an eye on the timeline. See if anything significant happens 7 days after this.
Or 49 days. Or
right.
Yeah.
Or 50 years.
Hey, that's and
yeah, yeah.
With the way this show works, that's totally possible.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that's pretty good. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No.
Cool. Then I'm going to stop the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, I'm not sold on this yet. So let's watch and pay attention and see where it goes. But is there any small, weak connection between Bright and Amuro of that Esper type, where Bright can sort of feel the discord when Amuro is gone?
I think it much more likely that Amuro's desertion and the subsequent ruckus have highlighted for Bright that while he knows theoretically how to make a ship function, he doesn't know how to manage people or how to manage relationships. He is not good at it. And we've seen this multiple times.
Yeah. And already being uncertain about that, already realizing that limitation and relying on Ryu's advice to then have Ryu taken away from him so suddenly, right when Bright is coming to be fully aware of how much he relies on Ryu.
That reminds me, the first scene on the bridge in Shito White Basic, we see Mirai sewing quietly and listening to Sayla and Bright talking, and they've thrown some cushions on the floor of the bridge, and they're kind of lounging around, and they're talking about other people, they're talking about some of their fellows on the White Base, they're chatting about this and that, but it feels very cozy. It feels like friends hanging out. And when Mirai is done with her sewing, she goes and she asks Sayla, like, oh, can I sit here? Oh yeah, of course. And Sayla kind of like leans on her or puts her head against Mirai where Mirai is sitting, and it feels like friends.
Yeah.
And I think in contrast to all those conflicts that we see throughout these two episodes, we're also meant to see there are places where the group is coming together. There are places where things are cohesing. Is that a word?
Cohering.
Cohering. There you go.
Yeah.
Cohesive.
Yeah.
Cohering. There we go. And I suppose I was imposing on Bright a trope from Western stories that may not exist in Japanese stories, but in a lot of Western military and Navy dramas across, I think, time periods that they're set in. You have the young commissioned officer who has very little experience, but is full of thoughts of their own skill and, you know, is a little in over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you typically have the substantially older, experienced, non-commissioned guy who's there, you know, if the young guy is willing to listen, to provide some guidance, some backup, some help.
I think it's Mirai. Is it Mirai?
I don't know what you're gonna say. Rambaral and Sayla each turn a corner and run into each other. And she's startled, and it feels like recognition, though she doesn't know who he is. He recognizes her immediately as Lady Artesia.
And he says, Hime-sama, which is translated as princess, but it's not the best translation. Hime is like young lady of higher social standing than me.
While we were doing some research about Furomyo, I learned that cremation in Japan was actually not very common until after World War II, because the wood that you used for cremation was very expensive. So burials were much more common unless you lived in a city where there was no room to bury people, or unless you were of the upper class. Now cremation is overwhelmingly common. I think it's like 98% or 99% of Japanese people who die are then cremated. Cremation is also associated with Buddhism because there's no bodily resurrection like you have in the Abrahamic traditions. And if I'm remembering correctly, the Buddha was cremated and the Buddha's spirit then achieved nirvana and enlightenment, and for which a body is not necessary. Perhaps even a hindrance. Because the majority of funerals in Japan are Buddhist, that's another reason that the practice of cremation is so common. Not certain if the crosses on the graves are meant to be an indication that those people were Christian or simply meant to be grave markers. But there certainly would not have been wood enough in the desert for a pyre, even if they had wanted to have one.